John began by saying, well, Pat didn't understand there's a difference in doctrine and, quote, mere church law. Well, I wonder. Remember the chart, communion under both kinds, where Popes Leo and Gelasius, according to the Catholic Dictionary, emphatically condemned persons who abstained from the chalice. Yet then, in the Council of Constance in 1416, communion under both kinds was abolished. Now, they condemned folks who didn't drink the fruit of the vine. That means they said they were going to be lost. Then, later on, I don't know if it's 100 or 200 years later, they wouldn't let people drink the fruit of the vine anymore. Is that just a mere church law when people are going to be lost because of this? And then you change it to where they can't drink the fruit of the vine, which your popes earlier had said you'd be lost if you didn't? Is that a change in doctrine or mere church law when you can be lost over it? Now, these are popes that said if you didn't drink the fruit of the vine, you'd be lost. Then later they abolished it and said you can't drink the fruit of the vine. He said, well, the Catholic Church, we admit we make mistakes. You know, like some of the quotes I had from Catholics, they make mistakes. These things have to be signed by the Pope. Well, what about the quote from Pope Adrian VI where he said, it is certain that the Pope may err in matters of faith? Now, ask the question again for the fourth or fifth time, John. Was Pope Adrian VI right when he said that? If he was, then the Pope is fallible, and down goes the other leg of authority other than the Scriptures. Or if he was wrong, then the Pope is proven fallible again, because then he was fallible and he was a Pope. Either way, the Pope is fallible. If he was right, he said the error in matters of faith. If he was right, then Pope is fallible. And if he's wrong, the Pope is fallible, because that proves he was fallible because he was wrong. And now that means that you've taken away the leg of authority, church leadership. Church tradition is taken away also, and that leaves only the Bible, sola scriptura. Now, John brings this up. He says, Pat doesn't understand the ex cathedra thing about the Pope being infallible. John, it's not that I don't understand it. If you get up here and tell me that the Pope is infallible whenever he's right, and that's basically what it amounts to, then that's no source of authority at all. I'm infallible when I'm right. And I'm going to say this with humor, an extreme thing to make a point. Bill Clinton is infallible by that definition. He was infallible every time he was right. And that's what he's basically saying. Pat, you don't understand it. The Pope was only infallible when he was right. If he gets in here and speaks in the church, but he's not speaking to the whole church, for the church, he can be wrong. Then you don't know if he's right or not. What good does infallibility do you if he's only right when he's right? No, the only time infallibility can be reliable is if when he says something, you know it's right. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, we know everything in there was right because he said it, because he's inspired of the Holy Ghost. And if that weren't true, we couldn't depend upon it. Bill Clinton was infallible if you're only counting the times he was right. That means nothing if that's what you mean by infallibility. It is no source of reliable source of authority. 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about love. Yes, verses 1 through 7, but that which is perfect is something that was to come, according to Paul, when that which is perfect has come. And they already had love, so that which is perfect is not referring to love, because they already had love. The passage says that love was already there, so that which is perfect is something else. The perfect there is contrasted with the part, so they have to be of the same nature. Just like a part of an apple has to be from a whole apple, not from a whole orange. Since the part has to do with the means by which God revealed His New Testament law in parts, then the perfect or complete has to be the means by which God revealed His New Testament law in whole. And since we have that, that means prophecy and tongues have been done away. That means the Pope cannot speak ex cathedra, because the Bible says things like that have been done away when we got the complete revelation. I forgot to reply to the part about unclean spirits in Zechariah 13. Yes, the unclean spirits are gone away. Unclean spirits is demon possession, John. Not just somebody stealing or raping. It's demon possession. We don't have that anymore today. Sola Scriptura, he says, according to Pat, was not true then. That's right, because when Paul said sola scriptura, when he taught that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, he said all Scripture. So sola scriptura did not become true until you had all the Scripture. That's the way Paul defined it. And then he said that I said the Bible is right, therefore the church has to be wrong. No, what I said is the Bible is right, therefore the Catholic Church has to be wrong, because the Bible contradicts what the Catholic Church teaches. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Remember the parallel? Faith thoroughly satisfies all conditions of salvation. Would that teach sola faith? Faith alone salvation? It certainly would. Then why wouldn't the same terminology in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, when it says Scripture thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works, why wouldn't that teach Scripture alone? It seems to me that it would.